taken that could lead to peace in Ukraine. That is our first topic on today's show, and we're glad to have you watching. I'm Carl Azuz. On Tuesday, after peace talks between Russian and Ukrainian government officials, Russia said it would move some of its troops and equipment away from the Ukrainian capital and another area of northern Ukraine and, quote, drastically reduce hostilities in these two areas. American officials said this signaled a major change in Russian strategy after it launched what it called a special military operation in Ukraine on February 24th. Russian officials indicated the decision was influenced by promises from Ukraine that it would remain a neutral country in the future and not try to get or develop nuclear weapons. There were other developments in the two nations' peace talks. One concerned reports of a possible future meeting between Russian President Vladimir Putin and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, though that is not on the schedule right now. Fighting between the two sides reportedly continued last night in Ukraine, including areas near the capital, and American officials say Russia's planned pullback in two northern parts of the country doesn't mean it's ending its invasion. It may just be moving these forces to fight in other locations. U.S. officials say they're more focused on what Russia does than what it says. The Russian announcement initially triggered a drop in oil prices on Tuesday. Investors became less concerned that an ongoing war would reduce oil supplies. Another factor in lower oil prices is recent events in Shanghai, China. It's possible that new COVID-related lockdowns there could reduce China's demand for oil energy. Here's Christy Lustau.
It's day two of a sweeping lockdown in Shanghai, China's financial capital and megacity that's home to 25 million people. Now, this is a two-stage lockdown that was launched so millions of residents could undergo mandatory mass testing. On Monday, half of the city went to lockdown for 4 days. On Friday, the second half will undergo the same process. And in this drone video, you will see the area of Shanghai called Pudong. That's the area that's currently under lockdown. And you'll also see the bridge that crosses the Huangpu River, which separates these two lockdown zones. During the testing period, some residents who are awaiting testing will not be allowed to leave their homes. We also know that public transport is suspended in lockdown areas, and work at factories and firms will also be suspended. Now, previously, authorities said that there was no need. There wouldn't be a lockdown in Shanghai, but the lockdown is underway, which is testing the patience of the residents there. It's also a test of China's zero COVID policy. It is a policy that has stemmed outbreaks, that has saved lives, but has come at a cost, in particular, an economic cost. I want you to read this. This is from Larry Hu, Macquarie Bank. He writes this: China should be able to contain the virus in the next few weeks as lockdown is effective, but COVID does pose substantial growth risk in the rest of this year as lockdown is very costly, unquote. I should point out that Shanghai is China's commercial center. Many multinational companies have factories there. In fact, it's home to more than 830 regional headquarters.
10-second trivia. What planet is closest to Earth when it passes by? Mercury, Venus, Mars, or Jupiter? It might not be the closest on average, but Venus's orbit brings it closer to Earth than any other planet. Over the next decade, we may be able to send people to Mars, but should we? There are numerous downsides to the exploration and possible colonization of the Red Planet. Earth and Mars are only closely aligned once every 2 years. Even then, it takes about 9 months to get there. Space travel is expensive and dangerous, especially with people aboard. Some researchers say it wouldn't be worth the money or risk, but the possibility is closer than ever.
SpaceX founder Elon Musk is worried about the future of humanity on Earth. His backup plan? The Starship.
Captain, you let them see our ship.
No, not that Starship.
Jump.
Not that one either. This Starship. He wants to use that to first send humans back to the moon, and then to settle a self-sustaining city on Mars. SpaceX says it's the most powerful rocket ever created, surpassing Saturn V, which landed humans on the lunar surface. Standing at 394 feet tall and 30 feet in diameter, SpaceX says Starship will be able to carry over 100 metric tons into Earth orbit.
Pretty epic.
The Starship is
formed of two parts.
Professor Lucy Berthoud teaches space engineering at the University of Bristol.
There's a bottom bit, which is a super heavy booster, which is like a rocket. And then the top bit, which is carries the cargo or the payload or the people. And those two together are also called the Starship.
The Starship is powered by over 30 Raptor engines. Once in orbit, the Super Heavy booster would separate from Starship and return to Earth to be caught mid-air by a large pair of robotic arms.
The booster actually, even though it's gigantic, will come back in about 6 minutes. The propellant pumps are designed to pull the rocket in about half an hour.
Starship would link with a rocket in low Earth orbit to supply it with more propellant and then continue on its mission. SpaceX says that could include sending as many as 100 human passengers to Mars, sending cargo to the Red Planet, or putting satellites into orbit.
The ship is probably reusable about every 6 to 8 hours. That's why we say sort of 3 times a day for the ship.
After a few high-altitude failures, SpaceX was able to land Starship, you know, the top part. In May of 2021, it successfully touched down from about 6 miles above Earth without bursting into flames. Despite arguing the industry is lagging behind and having missed a few deadlines himself, Musk has said he thinks SpaceX can get humans to Mars by 2026.
I do think 2026 is really ambitious. He has said worst case 10 years. I think that's much more doable, but we do need to ensure the safety of the people who are going to Mars.
Now, you can only go to Mars every 2 years, and I think maybe roughly you need about 1 million tons on Mars to have a self-sustaining city. The holy grail breakthrough that's needed is a rapid and completely reusable rocket system.
This is absolutely critical for going to Mars. You're going to need to take lots of experimental materials, you're going to need to take lots of food with you, and also some water for all your inhabitants.
So single-use rockets won't cut it.
Elon Musk came to the planetary science and engineering community. He said, I want to go to Mars. So what do I need to do?
That's right. We talked to Bill Nye.
And everybody told him, you got to lower the cost of getting to low Earth orbit. They have achieved it. SpaceX is now absolutely the most reliable, lowest cost vehicle going right now.
Nye is staunchly in favor of exploration, but he has concerns about settling humans on Mars, at least right away.
It's really amazing how hostile it is. It looks like places on Earth, but it's not. I mean, there's nothing to breathe and it's fantastically cold. Well, you just live in this dome. Okay, then we're going to go outside. What are you going to do? You're going to put on a spacesuit to go outside, which is just another dome.
Nye doesn't want the push to live on Mars to ruin our chance to learn about life on Mars.
It's very reasonable to me that there's something alive on Mars right now. And I'm talking about a microbe. I'm talking about something that lives under thin layers of rock. And we'd go there and we'd set up a settlement and screw it up. I would like us to investigate that thoroughly before we go setting up camp and throwing styrofoam cups all over the ground. If you found evidence of life, it would change the course of history.
The experts agree that prudent settlement of Mars could contain lessons for life back on Earth.
For 10 out of 10, if art is in the eye of the beholder, behold this. Might just look like a blue and gold circle of spots, but one of the artists is Spot, the famous or infamous robot dog. And the other, a human who prompted Spot to create the unique work, is a Polish-American artist. She titled it Sunrise March, and when the work was put up for auction, it raised $40,000 that'll be used to benefit Ukrainian refugees. Well, you don't need to brush up on color theory or canvas a panel to see the pointillism. You just clear the plein air, let down your avant-garde, see beyond the vanishing point, and understand what's representational. The abstract here is that a connoisseur would say it hits the spot on the dot. I'm Carl Azus. Mountaineer High School in Morgantown, West Virginia knows how to get a shout-out. Thank you for subscribing and leaving a comment on our YouTube channel that puts the finishing touches on today's CNN.